Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
When the season was shot, was you saw number 90 given maximum effort every single week?
I think the question for a guy like Clowney is when everybody's healthy. When the team's winning 11, when the team's getting to the point to where they're losing in the first round of the playoffs, what does he bring to the table to get this team over the hump? That lack of the work ethic, elite work ethic that you're looking for is brought to light in that situation.
You don't think he has it?
No, I don't think he has it. When you couch him in the best players in the league, those guys, for the most part, are along the lines of J.J. Watt.
To tag or not to tag? That is the question. No, Clint, I'm not going back to your bar days or anything like that. It's not closing time 2 a.m. I'm talking about J.D. Clowney. Are the Texans going to franchise tag J.D. Clowney? Tomorrow will be the day. Well, they'll be able to do that up till early March. And right now, all signs point to the Texans franchise tagging J.D. Clowney. There was a report earlier today from Peter King of NBC Sports that they're hesitant to sign J.D. Clowney to a long-term deal because of his work ethic. And the lesson I have for all the kids right now, Clint, and I think you can relate to this because you're an SEC guy, is that whatever your reputation is when you're a youngster, a lot of times, regardless of what happens after that, that reputation will follow you because Steve Spurrier, when J.D. Clowney was at South Carolina, he had this to say about Clowney, and we thought those days were behind us, but now, the day before, Brian Gaines going to have to make that decision. What Steve Spurrier said about Clowney his final year there is reemerging.
When did you know Jadeveon wasn't going to play, and will he be available next week?
I don't want to get into all of that. I will just say he told me he couldn't play, that his ribs hurt, couldn't run, and said I can't play. I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to play. We'll move on. And he may not be able to play next week. I don't know. But we're not going to worry about it. I can assure you that. If he wants to play, we'll welcome him to come play for the team if he wants to. But if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't have to play. Simple as that.
And later on after that, Steve Spurrier actually backtracked. This was Steve Spurrier a week after he'd already said that about Clowney, but as we already said, the damage had been done. This is the backpedal of the old ball coach.
First of all, Jadeveon has a muscle strain near his rib area that caused him to miss the game last week against Kentucky. He was in pain, and obviously we all handled it poorly. All of us did. The trainer tells me, the head coach, he's out. He's not playing. We all didn't do that. So we didn't handle it well, I think, the whole group of us. And but let me say this about Jadeveon. If he never plays another snap, we all should be thankful and appreciative that he came to South Carolina.
Reemerging, Clint.
Reemerging. He, you know.
By the way, if there's ever, you know, when your mom tells you to put sunscreen on and you know, stay out of the sun. Steve Spurrier's the example of why your mom's telling you that. He's looking pretty rough on those sidelines.
Yeah, he's hobbling around. I guess he had a hip replacement or some kind of back issue. And boy, he looks rough on the sidelines. He's one of them. I look at him, I go, man, you got enough money in the bank, man. You got enough. You know, your reputation is one of the best ever, on and off the field. I mean, why are you doing this to yourself? I mean, he looks like hell walking around out there. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, when you're talking about the Jadeveon Clowney deal, I mean, that's a perfect example of, I believe what Spurrier said in the first audio you played, more than I believe in the second audio. The second audio is a reaction. You know, I think once Spurrier sat down and said, wait a minute, I got the number one player in America to come to South Carolina, and now here I am bashing him, in the media. That's probably not going to bode well for me moving forward and recruiting and getting more of these five-star top-rated players to come play for my program if when they decide not to play because their future may be in doubt or of risking their future, I throw them under the bus in the media. So I think that second cut was a little bit more of, hey, I got to do some house cleaning, where that first one was probably more, I guess, disappointment in the fact that they couldn't get a kid to want to play football instead of sit out every time he had a little nick.
Clint Sterner in for John Lopez, who's out fishing. Brian Gain's going to have to be the one to make this decision on J.D. Clowney. And I decided to go back in the audio vault and just try to hear some past comments about Brian Gain in regards to Clowney. This was when Brian Gain first took the job, talking about what he likes about number 90 on the football field.
The height, weight, speed, the production, the performance, pass rush ability. Guy's a disruptive player, plays the run well. So we're doing our best to fortify our nucleus of players, and we'd like him to be a part of that.
You can't let this guy go. I mean, you can't let Clowney walk away from this football team. And regardless of what we said, regardless of what we think, he's 26 years old. There can be a case made that maybe J.D. Clowney's best football is actually ahead of him. And once he puts it all together, if he does, and I mean that is a if, it's a question mark, if he puts it all together, we're talking about a guy right now that production-wise is one of the top seven edge rushers. And I think a lot of people focus on the sacks, but the reality is there are very few guys that can do what J.D. Clowney does. And if his football, best football is ahead of him, there's no way you let this guy walk. You got to at least keep him for one more year under the franchise tag, because you don't want to see this guy go maximize his potential elsewhere.
Well, no, I'm going to agree with the fact that you can't let him walk. You can't let him Mario Williams walk, right? I mean, you can't let that type of situation come around again. And I think at this point in time, the best thing to do is a franchise tag him. But I'm he's a great player. There's no doubt about it. And he's played well in this system. I think he's a good fit relative to being exotic enough to be able to stand up and rush from inside, put his hand in the dirt outside. Here's my kick though, Landry, is I believe that it's more important to fix the corner situation. I believe it's more important to fix the offensive line situation than it is to long-term Jadeveon Clowney. I firmly believe that. I think if you sat down right now and said, hey, prioritize those, I'd say you got to shore up the offensive line. You got to find a corner that's more of a lockdown corner, at least a guy you can believe in and trust in. And then, Jadeveon, if I'm making a list of priorities, those – Jadeveon's third.
So you would let me understand what you're saying. You're saying that you would rather bring in a solid corner and fix the offensive line, and then Clowney would be your third priority. So you could entertain the possibility of if you could significantly improve the cornerbacks and the offensive line, that you could go without Clowney.
I could. I think what Clowney does, and again, he does it at an elite level. He does it at a sick level. But I think finding somebody to bring a similar set of tools, a similar skill set to the table, that in fact there might be some guys in the locker room right now that could fill in and do some of the same things in a pinch.
Talking about Duke Ejiofor and Whitney Merciless,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys can do. Now they're not Jadeveon Clowney. In no way, shape, or form am I saying they're Jadeveon Clowney, but I think a lesser guy at Jadeveon's position right now, and a corner that you can depend on, or a lockdown corner in the best case scenario, and a major upgraded offensive line, I want that formula. I want that equation more than I want long-term Clowney. I believe the other situations being fixed are more important than Clowney's position being an elite guy and being a dominant guy and putting up huge stats in a Texans uniform. I think fixing the other things are more important relative to this team taking the next step.
The interesting thing about this whole conversation is that tomorrow is going to be the day when we're going to figure out about, you know, what Brian Gain's going to do. And my whole thing is this: even if you do franchise tag him, you can still negotiate, you know, a trade. We saw it with Khalil Mack, but what would have to happen is Clowney would have to sign the tender, and then the Texans could start negotiating. So if that is the case, and if they do decide to move on from Clowney, which we don't expect it, but we really don't know, then they would be able to get some compensation back for him. And this is the other thing about this, Clint, and this isn't quite nobody's talking about. This is more just kind of common sense, because everybody likes to point to what's happened in recent years, like the last 5 years. The Texans did this 5 years ago. The Texans never do this. The Texans never bring in this type of guy. Brian Gain's been the GM for a little bit over a year. There's a new regime here. There's a new owner. There's new stuff going on here. So we really don't know how Brian Gain's going to handle these situations. Brian Gain could come out tomorrow and say, look, we like JD Clowney, but we're going to be entertaining trade offers for him. And while the Texans haven't done that in the past, Brian Gain hasn't been in this situation. This is the first time that Brian Gain's having to make this kind of decision. So it's kind of exciting. It's kind of intriguing. And there's a little bit of uncertainty that goes with how he's going to handle this situation.
Well, here's what I wonder, Landry, and it goes back to the player, right? I mean, I think it would be very clear-cut what you would want to do if it was a true defensive end, hand in the dirt, rush the passer, and he's
15-plus sacks a year type guy.
I think it was very, very clear what you want to do with like a J.J. Watt. I know he's not a defensive end, but he's a guy that you know, here's where he's going to be. Here's how he's going to impact the game. He's going to demand a double team from interior. He's going to collapse the pocket, and he's the best in the business at doing it. And now they gambled on him being healthy again and doing it at that level. But a J.J. Watt, a Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, that type of defensive end, you knew what you're getting from those guys. And I know I'm mentioning the best of the best to ever play the game, but you know exactly what you're getting. Those, to me, would be a very easy check to sign if I were a GM. I just wonder if the exotic style that I mentioned earlier, even though I think it's a great fit for what Romeo Crennel wants to do or does on defense, I wonder if that exotic style of being inside and being out and not being like a staple in one part of the defense and being super dominant at that one position, I wonder if that plays into the way this thing unfolds.
Absolutely. And I can bring examples of it. It's almost like when you're evaluating a quarterback, and I love JD Clowney. I love what he brings to the table. But when you're talking about investing in someone at that level, the question of whether or not he's elite comes into play. And there's other NFL teams that have been in similar situations, like at the quarterback position. Let's say like Derek Carr and Matthew Stafford. You like what they are, but do you want to pay them like franchise quarterbacks? Do you want to pay Matthew Stafford like a franchise quarterback or Derek Carr like a franchise quarterback? They've done it. It really hasn't paid off dividends, and now you're kind of, I don't want to say you're handcuffed, but you're in a position where you're paying somebody like they're elite, and the bottom line is they're not elite.
Right. Well, there's something missing. Now, whether it's within the quarterback or it's within the organization, not being there, we don't know. And I just wonder if the exotic style is as much of a plus as I think it is. I think it's a huge plus. I mean, I really do, for a guy like Clowney to be able to, because what happens is for Clowney, a defensive coordinator can go, hey, this week the right guard is really going to struggle. So let's put JJ in a five tech and let's bring Clowney in the A gap. And then you're really putting some stress on that, on that offensive front.
But it seems like Clowney plays better without Watt.
Yeah, I guess he has.
It seems like Clowney does play his best when Watt's out.
Well, that may just be by happenstance, because by schematically, as you sit here and wrap your head around it, you think Watt's over there demanding a double team from inside.
Yeah.
That allows you to play games from a pass rush standpoint that you just can't otherwise. If you don't have a dominant tackle if you don't have two dominant players like you have right now with J.J. Watt and Clowney, it takes away from the ability to play games. Now, like I said earlier, a lesser player in Clowney's position can get it done, right? I would rather have a lesser player that can just get it done in a corner that can lock down than a dominant guy that's over the top with Watt, if that makes sense. So the games you can play with Watt and Clowney are second to none. And I just wonder if that exotic style and Clowney's ability to do that is as big a plus in the GM's mind, in the head coach's mind, and in Romeo Crennel's mind as it is in mine. I just, that's the only reason I'm willing to entertain the conversation, is because his ability to line up anywhere in the defensive front and get after the passer is just rare.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall and listen to Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien and the discussions they're having right now. It's Clint Sterner in for John Lopez. It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm Landry Locker. Coming up next, Clint Sterner wants to see something new from Deshaun Watson. We'll tell you what that is next. It's In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.